Welcome to the Soul Savvy Podcast, your home to sneaker culture, community, and connections. Our goal is to provide you with industry insights that you can't find anywhere else, as well as news and stories from the people who helped build sneaker culture into what it is today. From designers to photographers to brand experts, we give you the real scoop on what's going on in the sneaker world as it relates to you, the consumer.
Welcome to another episode of the Soul Savvy Podcast. Today we are in the birthplace of Soul Savvy, Vancouver, British Columbia, and I am joined by our CEO, DP, and the designer of the SS4, amongst a lot of other things, probably in your closet or your wish list, Jimo Wong. How you guys feeling?
Feeling good. I got this raspy voice, so I'm passing on hosting duties to Marco as much as I can. Jimo, how you doing?
Good. Happy to be here. Love the city. Looking forward to tonight's event.
Yes.
Yep. This will come out after tonight, but you'll be able to check out the recap on Soul Savvy Instagram and social channels. We are linking up with the team at Size Vancouver following up last week's Toronto event. And it's crazy because we're not here to talk about the SS4, but while we're here, man, we put this shoe together during the pandemic over Zoom, released it in a very internet-y, web 3.0 way, and to see now having a physical sneaker launch for a shoe from an independent sneaker brand and people wanting to see it in real life, man, it just feels special.
Yeah, it does. And it's been a long time coming. Like, this was, when was the first call? Last May? Something like that. May 2021?
No, it was earlier. I think it was like February, March-ish 2021.
Mm-hmm. And then we got going around like May or June, right?
But you were bugging me from like probably December 19th, yeah. January 2020. You were tapping my shoulder like early on.
Yeah. As politely as Jimo can say, he thought I was a little crazy. So,
well, Jimo, you're not the only one. Check out Soul Savvy Instagram for that recap at Size. Shout out to the good people at Size and shout out to Vancouver, man. It's my second time here and it is a underrated city. It's just beautiful, man. I got to come here more often, and I do love the weather. It's good to leave the 100 degree weather in LA for a couple of days. But today we want to talk about Q4. And for those not familiar with industry terms or calendar terms, Q4 is the fourth quarter based off of the fiscal year of most footwear brands that covers holiday. I think a couple of brands might label it differently depending on what their fiscal calendar is, but historically Q4 is the most important quarter for brands. October, November, December, major drops, and this one is no different. However, for the first time in years, this Q4 is looking more and more like the power is going to be in the hands of the buyer and not the seller when it comes to these brands, because we're seeing, I'm just going to say it, too many good products. There's too many at once. So I want to start there with you, DP, from a market standpoint. What is going on? Like, I think people consider quote unquote sitting on shelves a bad thing. To me, I can't think of a better thing as a sneakerhead. You have great quality shoes coming out all the time. Again, arguably too many, but if you can get good drops that a year or two ago were going to sell out instantly, you're going to have to pay double, triple on resale. Now you can walk into a store and see them. That's what more could you ask for? But how did we get here?
I mean, it's a combination of inflation, markets, economy, but also a little fatigue. I think we've all been going really hard on sneakers the last 2 years, especially more than I can ever remember. I think for myself, I bought more sneakers since 2020 than the previous 3 years, for sure. Which is a crazy thing to say considering how long we were cooped up and in the house. So at this point it's a lot of inventory. People have been spending a lot, economy's changing, but to me it's an opportunity to save money, because 2020, even 2021 was all like, if I don't buy this today, it's going to be double the price, right? In a year or even in tomorrow, I'm not going to be able to get it, right? So to be able to look at, you know, the Fire Red 3s and find them in stores, see the restocks coming by and have the options. Obviously, I have to say to all the size 13s out there, it is difficult for the big foot sizes. But for the most part, sneakers are accessible. Great sneakers are accessible. And it's giving us more options and the savings are going to be there. And I love that. And Jimo, you, you know, you were talking about, we actually talked about this in Portland months ago, that sneakers had to find a new path forward that wasn't like heavy on collaborations, because at some point that was just, was going to wear people out. And we're starting to see that a little bit.
You're starting to see the playbook, collaboration playbook across every brand, not just, you know, a sprinkle here and there. Every brand is taking a page out of the Nike or Adidas collaboration playbook, which saturates the market with good projects, good product. You're seeing everyone from, you know, an On Running to ASICS getting in the collaboration space. Mm-hmm. What does that do? It just puts too much good product out there, and it makes it harder for a long time sneaker collector like me to find something that no one else is wearing that I feel good about. That's not a collaboration.
Right.
So it makes you just work harder to like find a gem, which I like it. I like to try to find that gem.
Well, and it takes some of the tension off of, you know, the inline. You know, we can call, look, Chicago ones are GRs. They're a general release sneaker that's going to be accessible across multiple accounts. You know, that type of stuff, there's the Chicago twos, there's a lot of good stuff coming Q4, and it takes the tension away from that, because we got the shiny objects, the collaborations as well. And we've taken away the storytelling, which, you know, Marco really believes in, and we all do, that it needs to be a part of, like, why am I just buying another Jordan 4? I need to believe in this colorway. And I think that being taken away because everything was selling out like hotcakes has now left us with, okay, there's a black Jordan 12 coming with gold trim or yellow trim, I think I saw in Q4, but I don't really know why it exists, right? And if I don't have any belief in buying into the why, you then look at your collection and go, well, I have some 12s. I have a 12 that's black. I don't really need this. So I think we're going to go back to some sneaker roots. It really reminds me of, what, 2016, 2017, Marco?
Maybe
in 2018?
Yeah. Well, to the point about GRs, what used to be our GRs and collabs versus like just products that drops, what used to be the retro drops, like 10 years ago, oh, wow, the White Cement 4 is coming back this quarter. Mm-hmm. Not the, like, now, the, like, that has been replaced by collabs. Mm-hmm. So you have collabs at the very top, and then you have OGs that are not like grail OGs,
sure.
The Air Jordan 2 OG coming back, the Cardinal 7. Mm-hmm. And then you have a step below that, which is new remixes of retros that are really good. Just new colorways, Yellow Toe.
Yep.
And then you have the true GR at the very bottom of that. And there's just no room for that anymore, I think, in people's pocketbooks. Mm-hmm. Because what used to be the pinnacle drop, which would be like the OG colorway, mm-hmm. that drops every month or every couple of months, that got replaced by a collapse. So then everything else got knocked down a notch.
Yeah,
and now the GRs are almost like the discount mall shoe now.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, see, it's interesting because like it's bad and good, because I don't know how the industry is going to react to it. And when I say industry, I mean like the brands making it that need to drive revenue. But from my perspective, you know, if I can get a dope Jordan 7 or a dope Jordan 4 on sale, I ain't mad. Especially if overall resale prices are down across the board.
That's why storytelling is so important, though, because we were talking about the Canvas 4 that's dropping tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Great shoe. It's a flip on the Eminem Carhartt, which is obviously, you know, I was joking in our email newsletter. I said, it's your chance to get that for $30,000 cheaper.
Yeah.
So it's a great shoe. But for me, I don't need that shoe. I have a Bred 4, I have a Black Cat 4. Mm-hmm. Great shoe, I don't need it. What people are missing is you need to find a reason for the new consumer to think that shoe is special.
Sure.
Because all of us are already jaded or collecting enough to not need that shoe. And if you're not telling the new consumer why that shoe is special, then they'd rather spend the $600 on the used Black Cat.
Yeah, which is fucked up.
Yeah, which is crazy. So that's kind of where we're at. There's a good product, not in storytelling, is kind of taking a back seat because I think people realize how feverish the demand was in 2020 and 2021. And now we're seeing the consequences of that. If you don't make a shoe feel special to somebody, then their incentive to buy it is going to be a lot smaller. But another important reason why we're here, Q4, stacked holiday season, competition is on a level that I have never seen in my life. And it's hard for me to like measure like my childhood, right? Because sneakers weren't anywhere like yours. Let's just say the last 10 years since I've been working in the industry, I've never seen this many brands doing this many good stuff at the same exact time. You mentioned earlier, On Running is doing collabs with Bodega now. Like everybody has skin in the game now, and man, that's exciting. But I want to know from you guys, who are some of the most surprising and maybe some of your favorite brands to pop up in the last couple of years or even months that you didn't see coming, but you're glad they're here?
I would say one of my favorites that I'm looking at is Mizuno.
Mizuno?
Mizuno, traditionally a very on-court, hardcore runner.
Mm-hmm.
Volleyball.
Yep.
Oriented brand. As now I started making some decent, actually not decent, very good lifestyle runners that I just picked up, part of the Desert Pack. Super good. Maybe a little bit like a New Balance, a little bit, but still really good. And I'm all about showcasing the underdogs and showcasing some hidden gems that kids aren't checking for. And I came across Mizuno maybe like around last week, and me and my friend just digging around. I've seen, Mizuno's always been there, but now I'm like, yo, Mizuno got some shit. So I just picked up a pair of the model, part of the Desert Pack, and also really like, you know, it's already in the mainstream, and I think it has a lot to do with Ronnie. Asics, I really like Jill Catano's, and some of the collaborations they do is really smart. They took risks on some of these designers, and it's just like this dude, Boris Bijan. No, I think so. Yeah. That has just been a mainstay, and he just does really progressive collaborations. And I like that about them.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, it's like, it's great that people are wearing other brands, right? You know, New Balance is definitely having a moment and has had a moment for a couple of years. They're in that list, but you know, you can talk about Hoka, you can talk about On. It's great. The diversification.
Who would ever thought Hoka would be at a size, you know?
But yeah.
And I'm sorry, Salomon did a collaboration with Boris Bijan. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
who would have thought?
I mean, look, and not to put us into the conversation with the Soul Savvy 4, but I don't think this shoe has a chance 4 or 5 years ago.
No.
Because people would just, what the hell?
What is this?
Right. And even now there's still like, there's a curve to jump over as a no-name brand that created a piece of footwear. But again, that's a great place for me to be, because like the worst part of the last 5 or 6 years of sneaker culture for me was like that we really turned sneakers into the best shoe is the most expensive shoe, which is just so far from it. And going back to our roots of like, man, you can go to a Foot Locker or any boutique and touch and feel something. I was apprehensive on the Fire Red 3s because I'm like, man, I got a lot of Fire Ready Jordans. I'm like, you know, I'm going to sit this one out. I got 500 pairs of sneakers at home. And I felt a pair and I touched it. I was like, damn, this is nice.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to buy this.
That's a good shoe. But I never have been a Fire Red guy in my life. Like, you know, you just gravitate to certain colorways. When it comes to threes, Black Cement 3, White Cement 3, bury me in one of those and I'll rest in peace. But, and I never even wanted a Fire Red 3. And it's kind of like weird to say. It's not like I ever had a chance, right? Those things used to fly. Every retro colorway, like I said earlier, used to be the collab drop. Mm-hmm. But man, that Fire Red 3 is just good, man. Like I found myself just holding it and be like, I'm going to wear this shoe because it's just, and I think people criticize brands a lot. Quality this, quality that. Like, I don't know what people thought, man. Did they think that the OGs or Tinker was making them by hand in Beaverton at every stitch? Like, like this idea of what's quality and what's good leather. Don't get me wrong, there's some cheap stuff on the market, but like it seems like the go-to argument against shoes is, oh, this isn't the leather. And it's like, what did you expect? Were you there in 88? Did you see what they were making? Because I don't know. I'm willing to bet that the leather in 1988, 10 years removed from when basketball shoes were Chuck Taylors, is not as good as whatever the cheap options are today.
Yeah.
And people let those type of conversations sway them away from good shoes. Like, that is a good shoe. The Fire Red 4 from 2 years ago, that shape is the best shape I've seen on a 4 in recent years for an OG. Like, just beautiful shape. Is it perfect? Is it like it was in 89? I don't know, man. I was a month old, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm just concerned with what I have now
and
being happy with that. And if I don't want it, I don't want it. Like your point, you can go in there, check it out. It looks great. It doesn't look great. So that's good. But what brands in the last years have surprised you the most to be at this quote-unquote sneakerhead party now?
I mean, I never saw On Running coming whatsoever, and I don't own any pairs. But for me, I think it has been my personal warm-up. Again, just speaking for myself, to Asics. Like, I always had like one or two pairs, but like I've been looking more after enjoying my New Balance collections now matching my Adidas at this point.
Wow.
I think I'm like 30-30.
I think I don't have a lot of each, but I think I have about the same New Balance and Adidas now.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I loved about New Balance the last couple of years was there's a heritage to Nike and Jordan colorways. That there's only like so much that you need of a specific tone. And obviously also why I like the collaborations, right? The Union, the Guavas, the Off Noir, the Fours, they're both unique in their own way. That was like, regardless of a great shoe and a hype shoe, it was a nice addition to the collection, especially at my volume. But for New Balance, it's like, man, their color palettes is just totally unique to what I'm used to at the Nike and the Jordan. So it was really easy to buy that stuff. And now the same thing with Asics and different models and different styles. And I just love the evolution. It's just great.
Yeah. For me, I think On Running is surprising. I'm surprised to see them here. But I like it because it's allowing for the type of in a world where Instagram tells you what's cool and what's not, and the resale prices dictate what's cool and what's not. It's just great to see people able to stumble upon to things that are like, yo, I really like this. Not different for the sake of being different, because those things aren't cheap, right? Okay. You got to invest into these shoes. Yeah. Everyone has all this great technology now, so you have to really invest in these shoes. You're choosing that shoe over a retro or a collab even.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see them here. I really do enjoy. I don't have one pair, but I enjoy Solomons. Like I like seeing people wear those because they look good on people, and I'm like, yo, that's just cool to me, because it's like, for as much of a Nike diehard person that I have been my whole life, it's just fun to see new things in the mix. But I will say, to bring the conversation back to us a little selfishly, but in general, the rise of independent sneakers, like, it's just cool. It's like, I was making this comparison the other day. It's like 20, 30 years ago, in order for you to have a hit or to make a career out of music, you needed a record label, right? And if you never got that, you couldn't cross over.
Sure.
And then because of streaming and mixtapes and et cetera, now you don't need that, right? Like, as long as you're creative and you have an idea and people like it, now you're an artist. And I think that's the same thing, like, that the direction that shoes is heading. Before, you needed a cosign from a big brand in order to convince the world, hey, I'm a designer.
Yeah.
Look at me. I got validated finally. And now it's like, I love what Mosh is doing with the Mosh Runner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's a guy who's been in the space forever, arguably the best customizer ever, right? He's in Monday Night Football every week. He's in NBA Media Day. Shoot, LeBron James even has a Mosh shoe, and he's Nike's biggest endorser.
Yeah.
And I love what he's doing. Again, back to the SS4 and just exploring what's possible with Garrickson. Like, making a silhouette, like, I never thought that was possible a few years ago. Nor, even if it was possible, I didn't think people would want it.
Yeah.
We just talked about how much good stuff there is in the market, yet people are still gravitating towards independent sneaker makers. And again, like, I don't think anyone is trying to be the next Nike or Adidas, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a space or a lane for creativity outside of the big dogs. And that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah. I think it's going to provide a shakeup amongst or draw a line between a collector and an actual sneakerhead, because it brings me back to when I was a kid. I would walk into Foot Locker, and the shelves would be such a variety, from Diadora, Pony. I remember this brand that I loved and I'd never gotten, and I wish I could have gotten it. It was called Lynx. Such a dope runner. And not only did they just have basketball shoes, but they had crazy runners, crazy tennis shoes, all that were just like, and the playing field was way different back then. The buyers took risks. These days, buyers don't take as much risks on supporting independent brands. They just want hits, that transaction, and ring the register. So now you see, you go to a size, you see On in there, you see Hoka, the Asics. I hope they bring brands like Mizuno in, because it just gives you your eye a different look on shoes rather than the top three. It gives a shot for the independents to, you know, take swings, and I like that.
Yeah, and they credit where it's due. Whoever these brands, from New Balance to Hoka to Salomon, like, they are all niche brands in their own right, whether it's hiking, running, etc. And they recognize how we get a bigger piece of this pie is to listen to the tastemakers, the sneakerheads, the streetwear designers. So for so many years, it felt like there was like resistance to finally give in and say, okay, they are just as powerful as us.
Yeah.
And now, like, man, it, the secret's out. If you partner with you bring the right people in that understand this industry and this culture, then good things are going to happen. And that's a win for everybody, because now, again, you're seeing all these people that 10, 20 years ago would never have gotten a shot to design a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Heroes at some of these brands. Like, I can't imagine what it would be like to be, Joe Fresh Goods or Salehi, like the way that those guys, what those guys have done for New Balance. Like, those guys are like,
we're
like
buying Crocs.
Those guys are like the equivalent, honestly, of being an NBA player signed to Nike and you're an all-star. Mm-hmm. Those guys are all-stars at designing, and the results for that brand. I mean, look at it. It's New Balance might have passed up Adidas, honestly, like as far as cultural relevance.
It's for street value. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Crocs, because now everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Everything's on the table now. There's nothing. Uggs is on the table. So everybody's Echo is making decent shoes. Teva is making decent shoes. Like North Face is on the table. Yeah. Everybody's on the table.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to say it. Skechers, what's going to happen?
Skechers is... I've seen a lot of Skechers.
Bro, if Crocs...
I've seen a ton.
If Crocs, from what they were, which is like... It was a funny joke. Like,
yeah.
Like,
it was like, yeah, come on, guys.
To have a Crocs, like... I remember I got my first pair during the pandemic, and I was like, yeah, these are kind of comfortable. And it became kind of like that, like ironic to wear them in a way where you're like, all right, like, you know, you're wearing Crocs. They're funny, but they're comfortable. And then to see Crocs, to see people on, this is how you know, we see people on Twitter complaining because they missed out on this late Crocs. Like, that's how you know. We have Crocs arguably kicked that door down for anything else. Uggs,
yeah.
Skechers. Kanye was wearing flip-flops with diamonds bedazzled on them the other day. And will I be participating in that trend? Probably not. But, man, I wouldn't take anything off the table now, like you said, Jimmy.
Everything's on the table now. Everything. Yeah. It's all love.
Footwear. Yeah, yeah.
Let's go.
Collect is a first-of-its-kind peer-to-peer member marketplace app that allows you to buy, sell, and trade your sneakers, a first in the industry, with no fees paid to Soul Savvy. On top of that, you can showcase and manage your entire collection from the app. We built this to empower buyers so prices are lower and more fair. Learn more about Collect at soulsavvy.com/collect.
It was funny, we got to a point, maybe it was like 2019, where people were dressing themselves. It was being driven by, I'm going to have the rarest, hypest shit when I show up. So I'm unique. And then all of a sudden you start showing up to parties and events, and everyone was wearing the same thing, because everyone thought they were going to make a statement in their unions or the Jordan 1 Mochas or Travis Scott. But now it's like, I remember Sean Goh showed up to our member event in 2019, and he was, oh my God, I'm blanking on the dad shoe. He was wearing the prototypical,
Monarch.
He was wearing a Nike Monarch. Remember when the Monarch M2K had a moment.
The Monarch was like the Croc before the Croc.
Yeah.
Like, it was just funny, but it was also kind of practical. Like, you could actually wear it. Yeah.
But now it's like, yo, show up to a sneaker event and wear something that's like generally unique to you and your personality and your taste. I guarantee you're going to have a better conversation with another sneakerhead or another creative around that, because they'd be like, oh, what is that?
What made you wear that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, look, yesterday I bought those Naked ASICs. I don't know what model. And Marco looked at me. He's like, damn, I didn't think I'd witness you in person buying an ASICs, but like, I was excited about them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have done that 3 years ago for sure.
Well, the Jown ASICs to me, it's like, half of my brain gets it and the other half of my brain doesn't get it. Cause I've known what ASICs are my whole life, right? Like, you know, you just got to watch a volleyball game.
Sure. Same. Exactly.
Yeah. But the fact that there is that much demand, and don't get me wrong, it's not a bad looking shoe. But I mean, it's what Jown does, right? It's a very simple, tasteful shoe.
Understatement. Understated. Yeah.
But man, that I can't believe it.
I just got that.
Oh, those are fire! Sorry, Gmail's showing us a Mizuno Wave Rider 10 in like a sail dust colorway.
It's nice.
That's a nice model. Yeah, that's a nice model.
Yeah, no, it's really, man. It's just like this is. Going to be a really strange Q4, but the winner is the consumer.
Yep.
I hope everyone does well, but I'm not worried about how X, Y, Z earnings are going to be after this quarter.
No.
Or what's going to go on discount. I'm worried about, am I going to be able to get the shoes I want? Are people going to be able to get great product? And are people going to be able to get it for discount? Talk to us about that. Like, we haven't seen discount. I just saw my first discount on a retro in years. This year.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the US market and the Canadian market. Canadian market is always more down on Jordans, Nikes. We were at the Foot Locker here in Vancouver. They had the green bean Jordan 5s for 45% off already. That shoe's like maybe 2 months old. I think under 60 days in age. But we're seeing in general across the US, like, we've been working with stores for members, and it's been stuff like, yo, release day, 15% off, because
that'll hit the outlets.
Yeah.
Those green beans will be at the outlets.
Yeah, right. So you have Nike for the first time that I can remember, man, since at least 2019, where they had a selection of Jordans, new release Jordans from a quarter for 20% off.
The red tags.
The white and red Air Jordan ones. Yeah, the yellow 14s. They had some 13s. It was a selection of different sneakers, and they're all good. You didn't look at any of those colorways and go, oh, they really dropped the ball on these. It's just, there's been.
So this has happened before.
Oh, yeah.
So what did they do to get off that, or to rebound? What did they do?
I made everything hyper limited again.
Yeah. I'm worried what the. So, I want people to save money, and I think it's great we have options, but I am worried there's going to be a knee jerk reaction from the industry as a whole to what happens in Q4 and Q1, that strategy planning for, I guess at this point, they're looking at 2024, right? That we could see a reverse, right? Where, you know, those 14s that they made that were accessible and still sold through 25% off, they scale back enough that they might resell again. That's my concern, that we might bring back the cycle in 3 to 5 years, but I'm hoping everyone's collectively learned how to manage inventory and demand. I feel like the brands have gotten way better at that than ever before.
Yeah, 2016, I remember you get True Blues for $100 on discount.
I remember that.
And it was also Yeezy and Adidas, the Ultra Boost had just taken off. And then we see the golden era, the 2017 to 2016, 2017 to 2021, 2022, of just like hit after hit after hit. And that opened the floodgates for every other brand to want a piece of it. And that's where we're at now. So I think where we're at now is collabs are the new big retro drops, the equivalent as far as demand goes. Retro drops are the new GRs, like the big retro drops.
The scale.
GRs are kind of like the new wall shoes, which isn't a bad thing. And I think the perfect example of that is the Jordan Holiday that just came out, preview that just came out this week. Man, I tweeted, this is one of the most stacked lineups I've seen in a long time. you have multiple OGs.
Yeah.
Great new colorways. When like you got a, basically a white cement with navy. You got
Gorge Green, I think, yeah, Jordan ones.
It's
a play on the Midnight Navy.
Midnight Navy, and yeah, then we did the wine color one.
Yeah.
You got CP3 inspired PEs, and you have the most demanded shoe. Oh, can't forget about the metallic silver. I still wish I got grabbed those lows. The metallic silver sixes. And then you got the most demanded shoe of the last half decade.
Yeah.
And I mean, imagine being a Jordan head, man. Like this is $5,000.
It's a great lineup, but what's crazy is the supply chain catching up, inflation, and just like consumer spending fatigue. Bro, I don't know that more than three of those sell out. And we've said this before, and I feel even better about it now. Outside of like size 12 and 13, I think size 11 and a half and under of the Cherry 11s this holiday is just going to be available.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the sevens will still be a struggle. No,
yeah.
I know those are grayish.
Yeah.
Love those.
It's timing. It's timing right now, right?
I think the kid is starting to be smart, to your point, DP, about money. They're buying stuff that they want to wear. Collectors will always be collectors.
Yeah.
But the kids are going to be more smart with all the options.
Because they got burned into spending so much on resale to feel cool that now it's like, no, I don't. I can define my own self-worth that I don't have to spend $500 on Black Cat 4s.
Here's a good example. Less than 2 years ago, or maybe a little over 2 years ago, Flint 13 drops right after the Last Dance. Flies,
man,
off the shelves.
Crazy.
I was shocked.
Crazy.
It's Flint 13 is like a Cardinal 7 to me. A little bit more popular than a Cardinal 7, but it's an OG sneaker guy shoe.
Yeah.
Versus a hype shoe, right? Like,
yeah,
like the only people I know who love Flint 13s are like, you know, dudes my age or older.
Mm-hmm.
If that Flint 13 is in this collection, it doesn't
sell. The same thing. But yeah, that was so, I forget what kind of impact the Last Dance had on Jordans and sneakers, because it reminded everyone from a storytelling perspective why we love Jordan brand.
Yeah.
Like, we know it's in the back of our head, Michael Jordan's great, et cetera, but then you watch the man and you watch him play. Man, that summer, I bought a bunch of retro shit. Like, I'd be like, I'll get to it one day. I always wanted Olympic sevens. Mm-hmm. I bought them after that. I was like, I have to have them after watching what episode 3.
Yeah. To wrap up this holiday, particular preview, there's no way that I look at all of this and come out with a negative opinion. Like, this is amazing for the consumer, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is the definition of what Christmas time should feel like. Look, like, at all of these
Pata
inspired. Yeah, seven.
Mm-hmm.
There's just I think that might be a Photoshop, but yeah, no, they showed these already. But yeah, no, man, it's just like, to me, it's just nice to be back in this spot where
we control.
We're in control.
This isn't even collaborations though,
yeah,
either.
So yeah, this is just inline.
Collabs are gonna just add more to the pot.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really good time for a product. And then the other thing I would say is, 2 years ago, you drop a collection like this, and who are you competing with? Maybe some Kanye's for Black Friday, some Yeezys. But now the consumer is thinking about Hoka, is thinking about Salomon, is thinking about Asics, is thinking about Crocs.
Crocs.
So they're
budgeting differently.
Yeah,
you're getting smarter.
And then this is just Jordan. We're not even talking about Nike.
Yeah.
Nike just brought back the pennies. They got the social status pennies. Like, there is so much good product in the market that you're gonna be truly. Challenge to just buy what you like, because there's no way you can buy everything.
No.
Yeah, there's just so much good stuff, to a point where, like, for me, I'll buy the thing. I'm so picky now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to buy stuff that I know I'm going to wear.
Yep.
Yep.
And I know I'm going to wear. Because eventually, for me, I am running out of space.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much good stuff. There's so much stuff that, like, I buy, I don't even crack the box. I just put it away. Like, I'll get to it. One day, I don't even crack the box. I don't even get it out of its UPS box sometimes.
Yeah.
Months.
Yeah. The pandemic turned me from somebody who didn't consider himself a collector, considered himself a guy who loved shoes and wore them into a collector because I don't have a daily commute anymore. Yeah. I don't have shoes to wear to the office every day. So now I'm like one of those guys. I never thought I have a pair that I haven't taken out of the box yet. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, they were going straight to feet before. Yeah. So it's tough now. But to that point, it's like, I can't buy everything if I'm not going to be able to wear it.
No, and I think one thing that happened, especially in the last 3 years, was the, let's just call it the word, the term trade bait. People were buying things just to buy them, to turn them into other things because everything was disappearing.
Yeah.
Right. And now it's like, oh, I don't got to work that hard for even Fire Red 3s, a classic, right? Yeah.
Speaking of trading, if you do want to trade your kicks with no fees, trusted partners to trade, check out the Soul Savvy Collect app.
What a great plug.
Showcase for your sneakers. But I mean, trading is funny to me because trading feels like I'm getting a shoe for free when I really just trade it for something I already paid for.
Bro, but I 100% agree.
I feel so much less guilty when I trade for a shoe versus when I buy one. So check out Collect by Soul Savvy. To wrap things up, I want to know what you guys, if there's anything on your list, whether it's from this Jordan preview, et cetera, from Q4, I'm going to go first. I'm going to say it right now. The Lost and Found Air Jordan 1 is a masterclass in storytelling by the brand that invented that type of marketing. Shout out to everybody who worked on that shoe. Anybody who's complaining about it, there's a reason why you are not the one designing it, because if the brand just did a layup and gave you the Chicago that you wanted, the 2015 retro, et cetera, they wouldn't be who they are. Mm-hmm. They don't do layups. They zig when everyone else zags, and the consumer doesn't know what they want until
the internet's don't know.
Until Jordan tells them what they want, and this Lost and Found, they got me, man.
No, it's great.
I already have a 94. I already have an 85. I don't need another. I'd rather have this one with the story, the packaging, the stickers. Like that to me is way better than if they had just remastered it again, because it's like, for what, man? Like,
but here's the thing.
Evolve.
They can remaster it again in 5 years, and now it'll be a decade from the true original. And that'll be a good story, you know, 5 years from now. Right now, it's on trend. The storytelling is great. You know, I'm just hoping it's not a complete, you know, pain, because I think that's the only shoe left this year that like truly matters.
Yeah.
Right. And we look at the numbers on the Travis Scott raffle entries. It was like 3 point something million.
Yeah.
I know they made a lot of Chicago ones. They made a lot, but it's still not enough. Right.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to get the
shoe. There's a formula to that too.
There
is. You can never make enough.
Like No. And if you do, it's a problem.
Yeah. Making enough for everybody that wants it is just bad business. I don't like, people are going to think that's a bad take, but it's true. Like Nike, like supply and demand is always at play.
We as consumers have validated that when we can get something too easily, we don't want it.
Yeah.
Right. So you just can't. You can't give the people what they want all the time. You got to dangle it. And I mean, that's sneaker culture. But we're finding a balance right now.
Yeah.
That's what's important to me, is that balance.
Yeah. So that's the big one for me. That's a shoe that I'm extremely excited about. But there's tons of good stuff. I'm sure other stuff's going to pop up. What about you, DP? What do you have your eyes on?
Definitely the sevens. Any sevens. I'm the guy who got very excited for Bethany's Beauty Supply Sevens. Picked up the exclusive colorway. I don't know what version. It's a green blue. I'm a big sevens guy, so I'm gonna go in on sevens. Period. I always will and always continue. But now I get to do it on sale and enjoy it that way. And I think for me, that's probably gonna be it. Outside of the ones, I am gonna say I'm apprehensive on the Chicago twos. But if it drops at the end of the year, December 30th, you might all those things just got to.
I'm gonna pick up that shoe for the history.
Because, sure, that's exactly. Yeah, same thing with the fire. Like if the quality, the build of it is good,
it looks nice.
I'll pick up as well. I'm curious to see what happens with Yeezy. It's very very quiet right now. That might be a whole nother podcast. But Gmo, what about you?
I'm on Monday 4. It's one of those drop.
Oh yeah,
purple ones.
November.
Those are really good. Those ones I would just wear. Because I feel like as much as I love his other models, it didn't feel like super collector.
These
fours feel like you could really wear.
Yeah.
I want to be surprised. I just want to see other brands surprise me. And I'm the guy that's going to look between the racks.
Yep.
And see what I could find that I could surprise my friends with. So.
I hear you on that. And another thing I forgot to mention, off topic, but another thing I'm looking forward to is the LeBron 20. I need to play in that. I already got my hands on the Luka and the Jordan 37. Mm. The whole other podcast topic, but just like we are in like the best competition era of lifestyle sneakers that I can remember, man, we are in a golden age of performance shoes. Everybody, even Puma is hitting on performance shoes right now. The LaMelos are great. The Freaks are great.
I saw the Dame preview. Those look good.
Fingers crossed, more Kobe's are on the way.
Yep.
Dames,
yep.
Luka. It's like, man, like people have been, people always want to criticize performance shoes because it's like never like, oh, how come the Jordans used to be good off court? Because back then it was leather and rubber and foam. And now we have so much good technology.
Yeah.
But if you play basketball or if you're just a basketball fan, we're in a really good place for that too right now.
You know the only thing that can make sneakers better right now?
I mean, how much time do you have?
Well, then I'm talking like a silhouette or if I need the Flyknit era to come back.
Come on, man.
I need racers, trainers, chukkas, lunar chukkas. Like, I need all that back in my life.
You have all of them.
I know, but like, I just want more. Just give me.
That was so good.
Just give me the fly.
I mean, I'm wearing Flyknit trainers right now, so man. I can't really argue with you.
No, like, seriously, Nike, please. 2025, I need retro Flyknit in my life.
They'll come back.
That era, those drops had people in a headlock trying to get the trainers.
Yeah. You know what we were talking about earlier before the show of all the shoes that they, all the Nikes that Kanye made popular? When Kanye was wearing these, bro, I was like, come on, man. Like, he
had people in a frenzy.
He's Nike's best marketing campaign.
Once in a generation.
Or one of the best in history. Obviously not in history.
Yeah.
But he's their best non-official marketing campaign in history.
Yeah.
But yeah, appreciate you guys chopping it up today here to talk all things Q4, sneakers, what we're looking forward to. And then, of course, a little bit on the SS4. For more, check out soulsavvy.com. GMO, DP, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Soul Savvy Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on social media at Soul Savvy with 1V on all platforms. To learn more about Soul Savvy and join our community, please visit www.soulsavvy.com/join.